We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
That song means it's time to go to the BetQL guest line. Download the BetQL app, beat the books. You can stream that on Odyssey. Time to talk to our friend, Mr. Eric Nathan. Good old Barstool Nate, New York City. He's a big deal, flies on private jets. Eats lobster. What up, Nate Dog?
I've never been on a private jet. That's the one thing left on the bucket list, but I do love lobster.
Me too. I was in Massachusetts. That's one thing they do right up there. Dude, I want to talk to you.
You didn't stay home for a weekend in the summer? You went somewhere? That's weird.
I went to a wedding, Nate. I have friends. They got married. I went and saw it.
Congratulations.
Thanks, bud. Love is love, baby. I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Much is being made on these internet streets of Carson Wentz being inaccurate in practices.
Oh my God.
They had a practice the other night at FedEx Field. Ron Rivera got asked about it. Have you heard the Ron Rivera quote yet about the inaccuracies?
I have not.
Landfill, can we play that for Mr. Nathan, please? This is Commanders head coach Ron Rivera asked Saturday night after a practice at FedEx Field about the quarterback missing some throws. Let's hear from Ron.
I think it's a lot better than you're giving him credit for just because of the way things happen in practice. There's a lot of little nuances that we see, that we look at, that we get to review. Yeah, there's some inaccuracies, but it's nothing that, you know, we are overly concerned with. Again, we see what's going on, we see how things are developing, we see the timing. And just the understanding and feel for what's going on with our concepts. So as we continue to grow and work on it, you know, we just feel like we're going to continue to grow and get better as an offensive unit.
Nate, here's my question for you and question I've been asking folks on the listener lines today. How much of that do you think is accurate? Do you think Ron is just telling the truth? How much of that do you think is Ron sticking up for his quarterback? How much of that do you think is maybe some of the narrative controlling things we've seen?
There's a couple layers to this. One, Coach Ron, as I've said multiple times, he's the best at coach speak in the game. He can talk for hours and actually say nothing, but he can say a lot of words with very little substance, but it sounds like he's saying something. He's great at it. Nobody better than Coach Ron at coach speak. The inaccuracy thing with Wentz, am I worried about it? Absolutely not. As I've said every week for the last 2 months, people try to find narratives. You try to find something to talk about in the offseason. It's still August 8th. He hasn't taken one meaningful snap as the quarterback of the Washington Commanders. I am not worried at all about anything that happens in OTAs or minicamp or practice or anything like that. If he's wildly inaccurate week three, week four, okay, let's have a discussion. But he is a 62.6% completion percentage quarterback for his career, including a very bad 57% in that terrible 2020 season. But even last year in Indianapolis, he completed over 62% of his throws. I am not worried about Carson Wentz's accuracy. I think it is such a nothing storyline that is dominating Twitter right now, and I think you'd have to be very silly to look way more into this than anything. Like, I just don't think there's really that much there.
I largely agree with you, okay? But it is important that we're, like, kind of honest. 52% accuracy isn't particularly accurate in kind of today's
sure.
NFL.
But let's say
it's also fine. It's fine.
If you complete 70% of your throws, which is crazy good, right? Almost impossible. You're still missing right. 3 out of 10. So if you're at one practice on one given humid night at FedEx Field, and you know a pass gets dropped, and you see 3 bad throws, but out of how many? What's our sample size that we're talking about with Wentz here? It is so astronomically low, and people are making stuff into such big deals on August 8th. It makes me want to just delete Twitter, throw my laptop into a river, and move to Wyoming. Like, let's just wait until something matters, until we start saying, oh, Wentz is inaccurate, or this guy's bad, or this isn't working. We don't know anything right now. You can take a tiny sample size of any player in any league and say, oh, this guy didn't do this right. It's largely based on nothing.
I mostly agree with you. Now, I have watched a lot of these practices, and there have been some misses that are I'm kind of like, damn, like I'm surprised you could miss like that. But I largely agree with you. I mean, my response to Ron's comments are that, you know, I think Ron's pretty much telling the truth that they're not worried about it. And I've talked to some coaches off record, just on the side, and they're like, yeah, man. And one of the problems, one of the issues with training camp, that's kind of one of these blessing and curse, right, is fans get to watch all of it, and fans can have their phones out for all of it. So one drop pass, one route where a receiver breaks in and the quarterback's expecting him to go out looks awful, okay?
Yeah.
That could go viral online. That could get 10,000 views, whatever. And the media is there for every portion of practice. Usually the media only gets to watch 15, 20 minutes. That's what happens in the regular season. So not everything's going perfect out here, but I do think it's far much too much being made about minor issues on August 8th.
Yeah, and nobody expected things to go perfectly. It's a new, you know, a new quarterback, like in a system that he hasn't played in. He's coming from Indianapolis, where I will continue to beat this drum. He had a good season last year, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. JP, you had a great tweet over the weekend, I guess while you were waiting for your cocktails to be served on vacation, that he had 19 touchdowns, 1 interception in the red zone last season. And that's playing on the Colts.
Yep.
It's very impressive. We haven't
now,
seen
John Taylor helps that a lot. John Taylor helps that.
Sorry.
John Taylor helps that a lot when you've got the best running back in the game. But still,
that's the thing. He made stuff work with the weapons he was given. Guess what? He's going to have a guy named Antonio Gibson in Washington who has a very good skill set as well. If you have 19 touchdowns and 1 interception in the red zone, I want you on my team.
Right. I mean, say a million things. I love Taylor Heinicke. He threw 20 touchdowns against 15 picks in 16 games last year.
Yeah. Okay. And
3,400 yards. Like this is going to, barring a complete aberration from what we've seen, barring the complete meltdown of Carson Wentz, that has happened once in 2020, but there were a million factors into that. I expect Wentz to be better than Heinicke last season. And I expect this offense to be better. And in turn, I think it's a playoff team.
That's what I'm saying. But I think the over-under for Washington is still set at 7.5. This team won 7 games last year with a much harder schedule. Like, I think it's crazy how underestimated the Commanders are right now. The defense is still there. And they've had another season of Del Rio under their belt, so they definitely cannot start as poorly as they started last season. You know how terrible that was at the beginning, and the offense only got better. The offense only improved. The quarterback play, barring some blow up like you just said, only improved, and the schedule is a lot easier. So I don't know why the over under 7.5. I think the Eagles are bad.
Dude, I'll be honest. That it is that low is a little alarming to me. They are begging and taking a ton of action on the over. Normally, this thing would get moved. Most places, I think it's up to 8 now, but
okay.
That is a little alarming to me.
There's two overs that I love. One is Montez Sweat over 6.5 sacks, which I think is an easy over. I think he's still a monster, always has been, and every report is that he's playing amazing football in OTAs and minicamp. Again, I don't put a ton into that, but sometimes you can just tell, like, okay, this guy has now figured out the NFL game, and he's just going to bust out onto the scene this year. That's my guy. And then the other is over 7.5. I said if we split the division, JP, if we just split division, that's three. And I think the Giants are still very bad, and I don't believe in the Eagles at all because I think Jalen Hurts is bad at quarterback. We still have the Jaguars, Lions, Bears, Colts, Vikings, Texans, Falcons, Browns. And we just need to get five wins out of there. Give me that over all day, every day.
Nate, let's wrap up the Wentz thing. You were just saying that you believe, and I believe, there's a baseline of play they will get from that quarterback that will be a fairly solid performance. Like, I'm willing to count on fairly solid.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the best way of putting it. He's not going to I'm not going to say that. If he can bounce back to form, I know we talk about this a lot, a couple MVP votes back in the day, was on the way to leading the Eagles to the Super Bowl. Obviously not the exact same quarterback he was 5 years ago, but I don't know why he's just being so discounted and everybody's just tossing this team in the garbage. Like, Carson Wentz is not a bad quarterback. He's an upgrade at quarterback that we've had over the last few years for sure. And there's a lot of weapons on the offense. And if he can just utilize the weapons, which I believe he will, this is a good team. I really do believe in this team, and I really hope that, you know, in 3 months, these clips aren't pulled out of context and used against me, because I truly, truly, truly do believe in Carson Wentz.
Landfill, do me a favor, make sure we're recording everything Nate says, just in case. this is a 9-10 win team, and I do think they're One guy I know and trust a lot is Mike Garafolo. I think he's a really sharp analyst. And he sees some kind of boom or bust potential in these Commanders. And I can kind of see that, because the one thing that concerns me, perhaps maybe trying to get pushed out here, this is not always the most nurturing environment out here in Ashburn.
Sure.
And the D.C. fan base, not always super patient when it comes to quarterbacks of the burgundy and gold. Like, there is something that I've heard from enough people that are like, man, it didn't work in Indy with Frank Reich for Carson Wentz, and you think it's going to work in Washington? Like, I don't ignore that part of this. So I do think there is some boom or bust potential. Like, things go sideways and relationships get distorted and all that, but I hope that's not the case. I mean, you can't ignore the possibility, but at least not enter into a season expecting that.
Yeah. So I've been writing about the Commanders on Barstool for, I think, what, 9 years. I think we're coming up on 9 years now, and the common thread has been, if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. If we bring in a quarterback we think is going to be good, something terrible will happen. If we sign somebody who we think will change the organization, that guy will tear his ACL. Everything has gone wrong in the last 9 years. A couple playoff appearances here and there, but overall, as an organization, it's toxic. It's bad. We have seen them turn it around a little bit. I do think they have drafted quite well, all things considered. Especially like McLaurin pick, Gibson pick, here and there, just like, you know, depth on the defensive line obviously has been great. So, you know, I do think that things have changed, and I don't know when we were cut off abruptly there, but the schedule is very easy. I don't think the NFC East obviously is that difficult of a division. I don't think the Giants have really improved outside of coaching, and I don't think Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback in Philadelphia. And I think the rest of the schedule with the Bears and the Colts and the Lions and the Jags and the Falcons and the Texans and the Vikings is not very strong. So I do think there's a lot of boom potential here just based on those factors.
Yeah, and I just got a tweet from this dude, Ike Dog, who said, JP, please tell me why everyone assumes our schedule is easy. I'm sure plenty of teams on our schedule are saying that about Washington. I think that's true to some degree. Keep this in mind, too. The NFC East, the Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, Commanders, 14 of 17 games are against the same competition. So it's not a tremendous difference. But the one thing I look at with schedules are the quarterbacks you're going to be facing. And the quarterbacks they faced last year were a lot of Hall of Famers, and the quarterbacks they faced this year are a lot of question marks. And that, I think is one thing you can look at year over year. Now, the NFL, the reason every sports book in the world will run 8 billion ads this fall is because the NFL is impossible to predict. And that's why you drink for free in Vegas and DraftKings never stops running commercials, right? Like, they want you betting on the sport because it's impossible. So to sit here and say, oh, you know, when Washington plays Houston in November, Houston stinks. A million things could happen. Davis Mills might be the next Tom Brady. Who the hell knows? But you can at least look at the quarterbacks and try to get some semblance of a plan. I wanted to ask you this. Did you see Mike Phillips had a story over the weekend in the Richmond Times-Dispatch? Did you happen to see that about the progress the football team is making on the business side?
Yeah, I did see that. I thought that was encouraging for sure, especially because there's been a lot of stories about the amount of turnover in the front office, and it even goes back to the old days of Dan Snyder giving his employees apples instead of Christmas bonuses, and just it being obviously, as we know, probably the most toxic workplace environment in the world. So that was a good story from Michael Phillips. I know he wasn't doing it on purpose. I was like, a little bit of a fluff piece, but it was actually it was well researched, it was well written, and it kind of like pressed the point that just because, you know, stuff is changing on the field, but it's also changing behind the scenes, which is what Jason Wright was brought in to do. And it does seem like they're doing a very, very good job. Of course, the bar was set so low that it was almost impossible to do worse, but it is very encouraging that it's not now a place that people hate their lives walking into work every single day, and the turnover is down. He had the part about the Del Rio handling and all that stuff, which I think was nice. So, it was nice.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of surprised. You tend to be a little skeptical, I would say. So I think there are some real takeaways in here. I think some of this is a bit of a sales pitch to tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that he's writing that his pockets are being lined by the team to write nice things about them. But I don't think he's writing.
No one's alleging.
I know. I don't think he's making this up. I think it is. It's 100%. I think it has to be true that the culture has improved because it was impossible for it to get worse. So I just thought it was kind of like just a nice thing to read. Like, okay, things are improving there. People don't hate their lives as much as they used to. It was nice to read something positive in that aspect, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you. I struggle with some of it. The organization probably employs 200, like, non-players and coaches. I bet they have 200, 300 employees. If you tell me 68 people have left voluntarily, that seems like a large number. And I know just on the PR side, like the people, like the two PR, non-football side, but the corporate communication side, they both left. Like the people I interact with, I think with everything going on with Dan in Congress, it's tough to keep your head up all the time.
That's my thing. And I think
they handled the Del Rio situation well.
Right. I think Dan Snyder is still the worst human being in the world. Like, I think as long as an organization is owned by Dan Snyder, and I do still believe that he's involved in the day-to-day, I think it's all lies. I think it's all manipulation. Like, he named his wife co-CEO, and he is the other half of that co-CEO. So I still think he's 100% involved. I think we're being lied to, and I think more and more will come out. I don't think we're out of the woods with Snyder, obviously, yet, because he still owns the gosh darn team. But all that aside, I do think there have been improvements made. I think both can live at the same time. Do I think that we're just
completely
in the clear? 0% we're in the clear. Dan Snyder will get his grubby hands on something and screw it up because that's what he does. But I do think improvements have been made, and I can be a little bit optimistic. I can find it in my heart to be a little bit optimistic about this.
I think the best thing that could happen to the organization, and I'm not being flippant here, I'm being incredibly serious.
Is Dan Snyder's yacht runs into an iceberg? Yes, I agree.
Certainly him selling the team, right? But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yes, that's what I meant. Sorry.
I think the best thing that could happen for this team is if there was no news about the business side. Is if fans get to just focus on Carson Wentz and Jonathan Allen and Jahan Dotson and this other stuff isn't a story. And I get, let's be real here. somebody just happened to leak this NFL report that was a term of Dan Snyder's punishment. I'm guessing it got leaked because it's good news, right? Like, if this went the other way, I'm not so sure this would make it out. And I don't think – I love Mike Phillips, and I've talked to him about this. I don't think it's an accident that as this team desperately wants a new stadium in Virginia, that's become obvious, that this news is making its way to Richmond, where as early as January, they could have a new vote on stadium money. So if all these things are being equal, like, I don't think any of this is an accident. But there is good news.
You're sounding like me now, which is funny, that I tried to find some optimism. And then I was like, oh, that is a nice report. Like, good for them. I would give them little rounds of applause, give them a little goodie bag on the way out. And you're like, yeah, this is all fake. This is all leaked. This is all to get a new stadium. And that sounds exactly like something I would say. And now you're kind of turning my tides on it, where I'm like, wait, you're right.
No, Nate, there's a separation here. I'm not saying that it's like the news contained in there is real. Like, there is some positive developments for the organization. And I think, dude, whether or not they're losing a bunch of people and whether or not that's any reflection on the current leadership or, hell, aren't people leaving jobs in record numbers all over the world? Like, who knows, right? But
sure.
I think the report is obviously real. I think a big answer will be September 11th when we see how many people show up to watch them play the Jags. I think that'll be a big deal. I'm just saying, I don't think, listen, if the organization here was at all interested in doing a deal with Maryland, Maryland's the only jurisdiction that's got cash on the table. Maryland said they got $400 million to build your infrastructure, and everyone I've talked to with Prince George's County officials, it's been made clear to me that if the Commanders committed to staying in Landover, that they'd have money for a stadium. Like, that's... The only state with money on this table is Maryland, and if they would commit, I've been told repeatedly, PG County would be able to find some money for a stadium. And yet, they have zero interest in that. Zero. Because otherwise they would do it.
At the end of the day, one report, one article won't change 25 years of just terrible, horrible franchise operations, and they're really trying to put like a Band-Aid on a bullet hole to get this stadium deal done, and it's reports like that obviously, as you made it clear, like, they're going to try to push through, like, hey, look how good we are now, like, everything's good now. Winning consistently, as we know,
changed
it a lot quicker than any article written in the newspaper. If they can string together some wins, stay out of the news, get Dan Snyder, keep him in Monaco on his yacht, keep him far away from this team, things will change a lot quicker. Now, the big question is that even possible with this franchise? Who knows, but that's the end-all, be-all. That is the obvious light at the end of the tunnel. It's just winning football games.
Have you ever heard of Mark Donovan?
Maybe. Who's Mark Donovan?
He's the Kansas City Chiefs team president. And you know what? You never hear from Mark Donovan because you hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Good point.
That's what you want. And Jason's a nice guy, and he's good interacting with fans. But, like, ideally, none of this stuff is news. And the stadium's packed, and the railing doesn't fall off. Like, ideally, all of this stuff handles itself. And I think if you start winning games, is the fastest track to accomplishing all that. It's funny.
Yeah, speaking of Mike Phillips, he's
walking up right now.
It's a sad state of affairs where, like, the big news is, oh, people want to work for the football team in town. Like, that's, like, the good news. Like, people, I feel like, in every other city would die
talking about your
football team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to join us?
Now it's, so, yeah.
Let's see if I can
you're right.
Phillips
you're
right. Here. I think the best thing that could happen is if the business news ceased being news, right? And all we're doing is talking about Carson Wentz and Jahan Dotson and everything they can do together. Until then, I think a lot of this is trying to get a stadium deal done. And I think my guess is there was some real eye-opening. I think they probably thought they were pretty close to a deal in Virginia. And obviously that went away. And we've got
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.